Asterix, welcome to another episode of Ad Aster. I'm Emma, and today I have the pleasure of introducing our wonderful guests, Daniel Liu and Sunny Wong, two super amazing and accomplished poets who are going to talk about friendships in the teen writing community, cultivating relationships outside of and as an antidote to competition, being editor-in-chiefs, outside perceptions of prestige versus writing freely, and a plethora of other reflections on the teen writing world. After all, what better way to celebrate the holidays than to cherish all the friendships we made along the struggles and joys of being teen writers, friends to write and talk about craft with, and have beautiful conversations like this one. So, without further ado, let's hand the mic to Sunny and Daniel.
Hello.
Hi, this is Sunny.
Hi, Aster. This is Danny.
Sunny's the most beautiful, amazing influencer at Yale.
Oh my god. This is Danny. He's the most brilliant poet slash word boy
right.
at Harvard. yeah.
What's the next question?
Okay, let's see. We just finished going to the game because our friendship is
that strong.
Our friendship is that
strong. It transcends boundaries.
To give the best quality of this podcast, we will cut now and continue to a Zoom call that we have with each other after we've recovered.
I'm so tired.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Aster. We'll see you in 2 seconds.
Wait, I can record. Wait. Okay, now it's recording.
I got it. Alrighty. Alright, Danny. Friendship origin story. Actually, you should start. I want to hear what your POV is.
My POV? Okay, so do you want to start by how do we start this? Like, when I first met Sunny, it was through her work. Like, every single, like, teen writing friendship ever. I think it was your poem in Diode Poetry. That's what it was.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, it was, like, really long ago, but I remember reading it, and then I was like, damn, this girl is kind of cool. I kind of like her work, and so I explored like more of it. I read more of it, and I remember I was huge on Twitter at the time, as was like most teen writers. I feel like Twitter for some reason is just like the platform that a bunch of writers
snaps, everybody was on that,
right? And so we just kind of exchanged ideas in this freeform platform. And in that sense, I did get to know Sunny a little more. But I think the first time that I met Sunny, like, in person was at Scholastic. And when I met her at Scholastic, I was like, yeah, she's, like, so such a perfect, bright soul. She's brilliant. Being, like, really kind of not extroverted, but, like, really friendly in that sense. I think you are kind of extroverted, too. But I just remember you being, like, someone really easy to talk to. Because we planned, like, this lunch at the cheesecake place in New York.
Oh, we did, yeah, like the Junior's Cheesecake or something in New York.
Yeah, Junior's Cheesecake.
Would recommend.
That was the first time I met like a bunch of writers in person. And I think that experience was really like important for me because like I kind of put like a face and a body to like a body of work. And for me, I was like, damn, I know so much about you through your work. And still nothing about you at the same time, right? And so having that like actual physical connection made me realize like what brought me a lot closer to a lot of people and created a really strong bond.
So true. That was so poignant. I thought it was gonna be like a lot more silly goofy than that.
I don't have like silly goofy thoughts on you. I feel like you're a very like perfect person. I don't know.
Okay, I have silly, goofy, and lovely thoughts about you. Okay, let's see. My origin story is also, it's actually quite similar, but Danny was also in Diode, and I think they all start the same with teen writers, or at least our sphere of teen writing, which was online, like Twitter. I think you were also... You were/are also an editor in chief, and then everybody kind of knows like, you know, if you're an editor in chief and there's other teen magazines, then just kind of like by virtue you know like who's running those. So I also kind of knew that, and then I was just like, oh wow, this kid is actually like he's kind of funny. I remember he had like a little pit crew profile picture or something.
Oh
like
yeah,
that. I thought it was so cute, and I was like, oh. And then I think we started talking more in the context of our other friend group, like our friend group as well. And I thought you were just a really funny guy, and which is rare. Are men funny?
Yeah, I agree. Are men funny?
I don't know, but you were. So, and then obviously I knew that you were quite talented. I think your poem was Red Army something something in Dia. Yes. Okay. Love that. And then New York. So yes, that was the first time Danny and I met actually in person, was for the Scholastic Award ceremony, which is so characteristic of us, because how slay, how's a girl boss, how amazing of us. But I think knowing, so there's this like meme about online friendships, which is I know all your worst fears, but not what your like legs look like, which is so true. Because I remember, actually, maybe I'll mention this later, but like when you get to know some of your writer friends, you know, like some of their silly, goofy thoughts, and then you also know kind of who they are in the context of their work, in the bodies of their works. So what Jenny said, which is actually, I really like putting a face to the body of like a body of work. It was nice to get to know Danny as like a person, because you don't always know that you're going to like, you know that you enjoy somebody, but you don't always know that you're going to like be face to face with them. Enjoy that. So that was nice. Yes. We had a cute little brunch. We went to Carnegie Hall together. It was actually kind of stressful. I think the ushers were very
tight schedule.
Yeah. Tight schedule. The ushers were very, tight on us about like filing into those rows, which was interesting. But yeah, and now here we are. I think we were like about to be juniors or seniors then, yeah, or something like that. And I do remember talking about like college applications with you at some point, which is crazy. So I guess those turned out okay.
Yeah, that was a rough time.
Yeah, rough time. Very rough time. Yeah.
I feel like those in-person interactions are really important, just to like organize with whoever, like, you know, just to see them in person, because it really helps. Oh, sure. Yeah, overall.
Like you can form very meaningful friendships with other teen poets online, but I feel like it helps a lot more to be able to like know somebody. Mm-hmm. Like in Iowa, the friendships that I formed over there, I think that was a very eye-opening, especially because the conversations that you can have, like not even just socially, but like writing wise with somebody in person.
Yeah.
Different lens. Yeah.
I think like the importance of those camps, like Iowa, Kenyan, whatever, so may not be necessarily like the writing prowess that you get from it. Like obviously it helps to be surrounded by like artistic talent and people who like writing. At that time, but it's also like just building a community of people that you know and can depend on and have a fun time with. And I think that's just really important, just overall, like as a human being, right? Like just have a variety of experiences. And that's why I felt like I really wanted to do like an in-person camp or something like that.
Right. I mean, obviously it's not like you're not gonna like die if you like don't go to one of those, but like if you can, then I think you absolutely should go there with the intention of making friends, because I'm not like a consulting bro genius like Danny, but like genuinely
I am not a I am currently failing right now.
But like connections, not even in the sentimental context, but also just like it's nice to know somebody, you know, like it's nice to have like people in your corner.
I agree with that. And I think it's also important just to like see how other people write too.
Oh, so true.
Right? Like writing, I feel like can be an isolated practice, but it's not supposed to be. You're in a conversation with so many different people, right? And so having people that you know who also write and write in their own different ways and have different practices is really important just to foster your own like artistic growth as well.
Mm-hmm. Especially since like you can very much easily fall into a bubble, I think, of writing style. Because I think, like, for example, online, around, like, COVID pandemic time, I know that Ocean Vuong's kind of, like, diaspora teenage style, like, that was very, it was a very, like, niche space, but for some reason it felt so all-encompassing.
I agree.
So, like, yeah. So, like, going to Iowa and, like, I have a friend who actually like going to show my example of like, it's nice to know somebody. He actually came over along with Danny for the Harvard Yale game. And he has like a wildly different style than me, but we were put into the same poetry class, and it was so nice to like talk with him and like learn with him, like going to lunch together about like his craft positions and like hearing him bag on the Ocean Vuong style.
Wait, who was this?
Do you know Bill? Bill Yang?
Oh yeah, I know Bill.
Yeah, he went to the frats with me.
I saw that, yeah.
But no. He has very different style than me.
I agree with that. Very well read. He's one of like...
He reads so much. He has like a poetry Instagram account where he posts poetry.
It's crazy. I always see him like on his Instagram. He has like a very idyllic...
He's a metaphysical Chad.
Yeah, actually. And like for real. I feel like he's already like a doctoral student.
Oh my god, yeah, wait, that's so accurate. He's like already kind of, he's metaphysically living there already.
And I think that just shows like how important it is to like know different people, right? Because I don't like that. I have no connection to like, well, I guess I do have a connection, but like I don't have a high level of experience in these like intellectual spaces regarding like writing and all these different like forms of literary arts, right? So I think having exposure to all these different ways is part of what makes writing so special.
Exactly. And it also makes like, I think the competitive aspect a lot more bearable.
Yeah,
like,
I agree with that.
Yeah.
The competitive aspect is like a huge part of writing. Okay.
I guess we're going into that, but yeah. I think it's also crazy because, let's see, the nuances of going online and like the pressures of that, which is like when you go online and then you engage in these like little writing circles, oftentimes I feel like something that young writers can feel like alienated by is that some of like the best young writers are like on there with you, so you can feel like you're like behind when really it's because like the tip top of the crop is like right there, so to speak. And everybody's like talking about like Scholastic and like young arts and everything like that. So then you're like, oh no, like everybody's doing this, when it's kind of like, you know.
Yeah. Just a very set group of people who like just are super visible to a lot of people. And I think kind of breaking out of that mold, breaking out of like that bubble, that competitiveness bubble, is like having friends in writing, is like,
right, exactly.
People apply everywhere and get rejected everywhere, and that's like perfectly okay. I think I have like more rejections than like I actually have poems. Well, I guess that's not that. But I think it's really important, because when I went to like at one of the writing camps, I noticed a lot of people just weren't applying to these things. These things weren't important to them. They were just like at this, they were just like as brilliant or even more brilliant as writers, right? Like their writing wasn't limited or like judged or valued because of these. And I think that's something super important and something that like friendship in writing can really help.
So true. I think like just like touch grass, make friends.
Exactly.
I agree, touch grass, make friends. It's one of the most like eye-opening things in writing, which is like, it's nice that you bring that up, because when I went to Iowa, a lot of people were publishing, which like I didn't know. Like, I think I had a very skewed sense of like what teen poets did when I went to Iowa. I was like, well, doesn't everybody just kind of like publish, submit, like be in the gruel of the gruel of rot of like rejection? But that's not how it was, and I think that's very nice, being able to know that there's a community there that's there to just kind of like celebrate, intellectualize, talk about poetry.
Yeah,
publish at your pace, etc.
I feel like there was definitely like a disparity between like the online writing groups I was in and like the writing camps, because they cared about different things, right? Or they, or like the things that happened to them were, they were at different levels of visibility. I think that was really important for me to recognize that, like, not everyone cares about young arts, and that's good.
So
that's
true.
Amazing thing, because
except Danny did amazing.
Right. Like, we're not.
This goes against the grain of the point, but you know, walk a line of nuance here. That's not our thread right now, but you did amazing. Young Arts.
I think Young Arts was less important to me as like, oh, congratulations, you won Young Arts. You got it, whatever. And more like, I met a lot of people who across disciplines that was like really interested in their artwork and fostering that for their like lifetime. I think that's what was like super important to me. Like as artists, I think we do have a responsibility to kind of commit to our work, right? Like to stand behind it. And what I saw at Young Arts was everyone standing behind their work, believing in it, believing that it'll become something greater. And I think that was really important for me just to develop my own practice outside of those like judges, whatever, that competitive space, right?
Mm-hmm. So true. In, what was it? What is it called? The like in summary, oh, TLDR.
Oh, TLDR.
TLDR is semicolon. Learn to kind of cultivate that relationship with writing. Learning to cultivate that relationship with writing outside of the space of like how well you're doing in terms of what you think everybody else is doing is often like, it's very well achieved by just talking to other writers.
Yeah.
Or just like being able to like see like in the flesh like how people are. Not only because it like, it lets you have a certain amount of like confidence, I think, like in certain spaces. I reference online a lot just because like when the pandemic started was when I was mostly engaging with this. But like in online, like it was really amazing to be able to like share Google Docs, like look at each other's works, like comment with each other. But there's a certain amount of confidence that being able to like go to workshops in person with people, like reading your works, having friends like listen to you, imbues you with. And I think that it's really important to be able to step into those spaces, like be able to gain your own confidence and realize that like not everything is, you know, ends up with a rejection from like a screen or like an email or something like that. Like you're able to recognize your own work, and then from there you can start building up, you know,
yeah,
your own beliefs in yourself, and then that's just only going to lead you down a healthier path of growth and learning.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, especially like you recognize that like the submittable is not the end destination, you know, like it's not
so true. Oh my
like,
god,
like the gray and the green and like whatever, and, like, it doesn't matter. Yeah, because they can't put red in there. But it's important to like recognize that like that's not the final point of your writing should be a self-practice. It should be more about you than it is about other people. And I think that's or it should be more about your own like practice than it is about other people's views of your practice.
So true.
Yeah.
So true. That was a brain bonker.
That was a little brain bonker.
All right. Let's see. I think
we can talk a little more about, I don't know, like our experiences in writing.
Our experiences? Okay. Do you want to go first?
I mean, like, how was being editor in chief of Interstellar? How was that
experience? Oh,
because lovely. I know a lot of people are like kind of trying to take initiative and like create these spaces on their own account, right? Like creating their own tags, things like that, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. With Young Poets Network too, right? That's something.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Okay, so being editor in chief at Interstellar, I would say very fulfilling, I think. I think there was an issue, especially around pandemic time, that I think might become relevant now, especially since I think I see a trend recently in Instagram or like social medias of like admission tips, college admissions tips. And I feel like maybe I just wasn't looking at it back then, but I just feel like it's a lot easier now with like, you know, the TikTok or whatever. Ooh, I sounded old when I said that. But the conversation going on back then was, is there like, what is the responsibility of these like new magazines that are like popping up, like, and the oversaturation of new magazines, like these editor-in-chiefs, are they ultimately like taking responsibility for these projects? Are they running these magazines out of like the passion, or are they doing it so that they can have it for the resume? So with that in mind, being editor-in-chief wasn't a big role to fill, but I think that, let's see, especially as a young person, I was about I was 15, I think, when I started Interstellar. You receive so many submissions as you grow. We started off really small, as everybody does. And then you start advertising, and then eventually people just start sending works in. And then it's just a learning process. I was very fortunate to have my fellow group of teen writers. It was entirely teen run. But I think we did a good job putting out issues, making out our website. We had, you know, some unfortunate run-ins with, like, submitters who, you know, I mean, rejection is hard, but don't take it out on EICs. But something you learn is, you know, being able to hold somebody else's work in your hands is a very, it's an honor in itself, because, you know, they've chosen you to scrutinize their work and determine if it's a fit for you, if it's a fit for them. And being able to, like, have that power in my hands as a 15-year-old was, it was nice. It was, yeah. it was nice in the shortest of terms, but, like, to describe it more thoroughly, I think having that responsibility was eye-opening, because it let me learn as a submitter, like,
I agree,
kind of, like, the thought processes that were going on, and just emotionally, I think, like,
yeah,
it made me a little more empathetic, I think, or empathetic to people who would reject me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like,
that makes,
like,
so much sense.
That's a funny thing to say, but, like, sometimes, like, I've gotten a really amazing work, but it just didn't fit with the logic of how the issue was currently being compiled. Mm-hmm. So I had to ultimately, like, let it go in the end, because we had so many submissions that, like, you know, if I had to accept one more work, then it would have to be one that, like, really hit home. So now I know that, like, when I submit something, maybe it wasn't necessarily rejected because, you know, my work is utter tire fire garbage. But it didn't fit with the logic of it. So, yeah, EIC, very fun, very good to work with other teenagers, collaborated with other magazines. Responsibility was important. Great power.
And I think being on, like, the other side of the process, yeah, being on the other side, teaches you a lot about that side of the
process. Yeah, yeah, right? Exactly. Like,
you said something about, like, how it feels emotionally to, like, reject, yes, or accept or do whatever, yes, to something. And I think in that sense, you learn a lot about how wishy-washy these publishing processes are.
Yeah, so true.
Right? Like, you learn that, like, not what... If you're submitting to the Paris Review, what the Paris Review says about your work in the end does not matter at all.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
More of a logistical process than
it is true.
Actual evaluation. And, mm-hmm, like, and obviously that's a part of it, but it's not like, this is what constitutes a good work. This is what constitutes, mm-hmm, a bad work, right? There's no defined line there. It's much, like you said, about what they need at the time.
What they need at the time, which, you know, I know people, like, roll their eyes at, like, rejection letters that are like, this was not what we needed at the time. But sometimes it's true.
Like,
sometimes,
actually, yeah.
Yeah, like, sometimes it's just not what you need, mm-hmm, at the time. Not need, but.
Yeah.
Yes. What about you, Jenny? Speak your truth.
Yeah. I feel like, yes, I think I would encourage everyone who writes to read, not just, like, books and, like, published stuff in general, but also, like, genuinely unsolicited, like, works, like, just to read for a magazine or whatever like that, because you learn about a lot about your own work too, right? You see a lot of themes that, like, come up presently and, like, always come up, or, like, have strike specific chords within specific people. For example, when I was reading for magazines, I realized that, like, a lot of people use, like, the language of violence in a very, like, unproductive manner, or, like, they just lean on it without, like, any real consideration for it. And I realized that, holy shit, or, oh no, I do that in my work too. Like, I do the same thing. I just relentlessly use this language because it's something I'm accustomed to or have read without actually considering, like, a greater implication of it within my poetry, right? So that something like that was really important, just to analyze kind of, like, trends of language more than anything else. And honestly, just reading for a magazine is kind of fun. You give yourself a little responsibility, right? Like, and it feels good.
It feels right. good to like be able to analyze a work and give something the honor it deserves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would definitely recommend in some shape or form, you know, as a young writer, involving yourself in some sort of like reading process. Very nice. Yes.
It also somewhat, it makes you friends. Yes. I think, because in it, like giving your time to a writing space, to a dedicated writing space, is really important in just general artistic practice things, right? Mm-hmm. So like having a routine instead of just writing whatever inspiration strikes.
Mm-hmm. Like you learn about craft, you learn about, you know, diaspora poetry, mangoes and et cetera. You also learn that plagiarism is a very serious thing.
It's very serious, and people will hunt you down.
Yes, you will be canceled.
You will also like inevitably be found out. I've seen like very intensive Google Docs of like all the evidence combined.
Are we thinking about the same Google Doc?
I think we're thinking about the same
Google Doc. Okay, yeah.
But like, it's yeah. like, there's a lot of evidence, and people will analyze that shit. Like,
people will find it.
Yeah.
And people will read it like a yeah. year to come.
And like people will know about it.
Yes. So don't
plagiarize.
Don't, especially. And I feel like it always happens. Like it's a team with like another young writer.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Which is funny. Great.
Because like if you should be plagiarizing someone, it should be
established or something like that.
Uh huh. But I think they just feel like it's easier to get away with, which. It isn't, because teen writers all the teen writers.
Yeah, like Richard Seekin is not going to seek you out for taking from his poem, but you know who is?
Sunny's vlog.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I was in that doc, but I
no.
did involve, you know, one of... Anyways.
There were docs.
There were docs, yes.
Yeah, I also think that's part of the brilliance of writing magic, like writing friendship, because you learn about these things and you learn a lot of drama in this world.
Oh, yes. Very fun.
Yeah, there's so much drama.
I think the writing world is actually also like somebody needs to examine this, but like the interconnection between the writing world and then going on to, you know, other things after high school, and then everybody always still like knows each other most of the time. Okay, I'll say it. It's like the writing teen writer to top school pop pipeline, which is a lot of pressure, but like it happens.
I agree with that. And I think for some reason that gets like a lot of visibility, and that's like it attracts people to or exposes them to teen writing in the first place, or like just writing overall. And I think it's not that it's like unhealthy. It's just that it's just like, what are you in it for? Do you love poetry? Do you? And I think it's important to consider genuinely why you're writing, because I think for a lot of high school, I was trapped in a space where I was trying to write for those competitions, right? And those spaces. And in the end, it wasn't fulfilling to me. But I eventually, like near the end of high school, I realized that I can just write about whatever the fuck I want. And that was helpful.
So true. And enjoying writing after high school more than you did in high school is such a real experience.
Yes, it is such a real experience. So like right now I'm writing a lot about art history for some reason.
Which is an art history major.
I guess, but like it also just like doesn't align with what I was writing before, right? But I realized that I like this direction more, and I'm developing some real like skills and like ideas that I didn't have before. And it feels freer, a lot freer. That's
it. Oh, that's weirdly relatable. I didn't know that this would take this turn, but yeah, that is weirdly relatable. Cause I was a poet. I still am a poet, but I've taken a class this semester about creative nonfiction. And because like I didn't have the pressure of like thinking that I was going to submit it anywhere or publish it anywhere, I've actually written some of what I think is the work that I like the most.
Yeah,
which is really interesting. So,
write freely. Yeah, write freely. Also, writing creative nonfiction is so hard. It is so difficult. It is beyond difficult.
It's fun.
Yeah, it is so fun. It's difficult. It's like you're writing a memoir about yourself, but at the same time, it's not about you. Yes. Right? Like, it's so hard. I don't know. I think I stick with poetry because it's the thing I know the most, but at the same time, it's the way I think about the world and therefore my best way of presenting it on paper, right? And creating nonfiction provides such an expanse of like of new opportunities in writing. It feels like I'm writing again, like learning how to write again.
Mm-hmm. So true. Be free, my young poets. Make friends. Touch grass. Okay. Don't plagiarize.
Don't plagiarize. Do not plagiarize. They will hunt your ass down. They will. They literally will.
They're gonna get you.
They actually will, though. Because like I've seen way too many. I've actually seen way too many people plagiarize. Like it feels like it should be an interesting thing, but for some reason it keeps coming up. And then like people know your name, and then like they'll meet you in person, and they'll be like, oh.
Ooh.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think part of what makes, like, for example, Young Poets Network like so worthwhile is that it provides one of those spaces where it's a lot less pressure. It's not a competitive space. It's more of a like collaborative space, right? Like that's how I like to think of it. And I think in some aspect, the Twitter world of teen writing served that for me, like a collaborative space, but it also had a lot of like toxic competitiveness.
Yes.
In terms of just like people announcing that, oh, this happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely a double-edged sword.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Which is why making friends and writers is so important.
Yeah. Because you get beyond the surface, like, oh, they won this, they lost that, they didn't get
beaten. You go through the gruel of it.
Yeah. And that's what's important. That's the value.
Exactly.
Awesome.
If I was a young writer, I would... Actually, I don't know, because I
wouldn't... You are still a young writer, Sadie.
You know, okay, so true. Oh my God, I'm old now. But I mean, I wouldn't have met you or any of our other lovely friends if I wasn't in that space. But I do wish that perhaps somebody had told me when I was then to, you know, take it a little slower, you can make more friends, and still feel fulfilled beyond putting yourself in that hyper-competitive space.
Yeah, I think the first thing you see in writing is like, or in teen writing specifically, is those like awards and those competitions. And you recognize these names and you learn the names and then you learn the magazines. But I think it's kind of like a top-down approach, which is terrible, which is absolutely horrible for your writing practice, right?
Oh, like, yeah. Top-down approach, so true.
Yeah. So like, I think part of an integral part of your practice should be deciding what you want to write, deciding what writing means specifically to you, and starting from the bottom up.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think that's all the time we have before this Zoom. Yeah.
So true. Not paying for Zoom premium, sorry. No,
there.
But thank you, Aster, for having us. This is our, let's make our heart hands.
Yes.
Yeah. Hooray.
Awesome.
That's our words of wisdom.
Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.